Hey, to whoever may need this nugget of encouragement, things will be alright, so quit your worry. I get it, the odds can stack back against the wall, but even consider it such, know you'll stand tall. Sat and watch from the sidelines one too many times. Wicked games to play make me want to lose my mind. Found solitude knowing it'll be over soon.
Hi everyone, welcome to Contrary to the Culture. I am your host, Jaysa King. This podcast has been created solely to explore the depths of cultures around the nation. We will have interviews from experts, challenge the mainstream ideas surrounding the cultural identities in our society, as well as make sure we touch on misconceptions we have about. All episodes are brought to you on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. on all major podcast platforms, not to mention my website, audacityofwomen.com. There, under the podcast tab, you can find transcripts from every episode. In order to know how we're doing, I need you to show us some love. Hit that subscribe button, like this video, comment your experiences, but most importantly, turn on your notifications so you don't miss any of the episodes. Now that that's done, let's jump into our episode.
All right, guys. Hi, welcome back to Contrary to the Culture. Every Tuesday, you know, we come on here and we talk about things that have to do with our culture, whether it's ours personally, you know, my people of color, or we're talking about the rest of the world, because we have so many different perspectives and understandings about the people around us. I feel like it's necessary for us to dive in with some experts that can at least tell us a different perspective. So today we're going to be talking about mental health. As you know, in the month of May, it is Mental Health Awareness Month. So that is something huge that Audacity of Women, the platform, has a huge hand in. We want to make sure we are giving back to the women and helping them understand there are resources and different ways that we can cope through our hardships, right? I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a business owner. At this point, I'm exhausted. So mental health has been huge for me. Today's expert is Sierra Ward. I'm super excited for her to introduce herself, tell us what she does, and just really dive into these questions, okay? So first off, thank you so much for doing this. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. So as you already said, my name is Sierra Ward, and I'm a behavioral health therapist. I have my own private practice, Care and Conversation Center, and I've been having my practice since 2021. Right now, we currently have three other therapists. We have two African-American women and I'll say Arabic therapists as well. We're all female-based, but we're hoping to get some males to join because we do, well, I know that we do need more male therapists, especially male of color therapists. But also previously to this, I was a probation officer. My caseload was domestic violence for almost 10 years. And then I went into, during COVID time, I kind of switched. This is how I got into therapy, because I felt like I wasn't doing enough and I wanted to give back. So I decided to get my license to become a therapist. And I first started in the hospitals. And then I worked at a LGBTQ health clinic, providing those therapy services. And then I just started my own private practice. So that's where I'm at right now. My private practice, Care and Conversation Center.
Okay, probation officer. First off, we got to start there. How did you get into it, right? So I have a bachelor's in criminal justice, and I ran as fast as I possibly could. What made you stick it out with probation?
Honestly, I really love the job. So when I was obtaining my master's, and I was interning with the public defenders, and that was hard. Yeah. Whenever I talk about that was hard. We don't get to pick our cases, and it's a lot of injustice in the court system. So, but probation was right across the hall, and my supervisor ended up making an introduction, and that's how I became a probation officer. And, but I really loved it. The guys, most of my clients were guys, but they were already sentenced. So the injustice, whatever was going to happen, it had already occurred. So now I'm just helping them. But in those meetings, when I was meeting with the guys, it was like a therapy session, honestly. A lot of times, a lot of people don't even have the space to talk about their day. So literally just me asking about their day, they opened up. It was guys crying. They was in my office for an hour. My supervisor was like, you got to get them in and out. But it was really, I felt like I was really helping people. That's what made me stay. But I had to leave. It was a commute. It was long, and I wanted to be with my family. But yeah.
Okay. And that's so interesting. People really don't talk about that side of probation. it seems like outside looking in, it's always, you know, sticking to the book, making sure they're doing what they need to do. But in reality, they really do need somebody to talk to. They need somebody to understand, like, whether they did it or not, it ain't none of my business. Yeah. But, you know, really opening up and showing that side of their vulnerabilities and their mental health. So that's really important. I definitely appreciate that, because a lot of people don't talk about that side of their profession. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to mental health, right? Okay, so you were already doing it. Regardless of your title, you were already into mental health. How did you kind of deal with your own things? Okay, so another background. So I also have partial master's credit in mental health counseling. That's something I wanted to do. But what stopped me from finishing that one was understanding my own triggers and working through those different techniques that I know I have to use, like my biases, making sure that I understood that when it came to hearing other people's stories, that I may need to step away. So when you were going through that process and getting your master's in that, I may have assumed, did you get your master's in that?
Yeah.
Obviously. Okay. Just making sure. How did you work through that part? What did you have to acknowledge within yourself?
I feel like in the mental health field and the people I work with, it's not a lot of, I'll say I don't have a lot of biases. Mm-hmm. But as a probation officer and public defender, and that's why I say we didn't get to choose our case. Mm-hmm. It's something that I knew, and I was telling them, I can't do this, but you can't choose your cases. And it was and there's things like that that I just couldn't work with. But as far as in the mental health field, I think a lot of people, it's a lot of similarities. A lot of people just going through everyday life issues. And that's what I came to realize. The situation may be different, but the core root of what the issue is kind of the same. I see a lot of myself and a lot of my clients. So I just had to take a step back and I'll say, going from this profession, like, I feel like when I first started, I had imposter syndrome. I was trying to fit in a book, fit in this box about what a therapist should be. And it wasn't really helping the clients. And I feel like I had to take a step back and just be my authentic self. I'm like, you help people in general every day. So then I created a space where I was authentic, which helped my clients be authentic, which helped them open up and let me know what was going on. And then I always tell people, I'm not willing to sell it. I'm not willing to buy. So any advice or guidance that I give them, it's something that I would take or I would do in their shoes if I was them, you know, if that all makes sense.
Yes, it does completely. And it's crazy because that's exactly what the platform is supposed to be. It's to push out your most authentic self. And it's crazy because these past couple episodes that I've been recording with people, imposter syndrome kept coming up. And it's so interesting because I know that that's something I've experienced and a lot of people around me have experienced. But acknowledging that other women that we are trying to be like, or we're trying to make sure see us in a certain way, are going through the same thing. It's like, okay, well, wait, full circle. Let me make sure that we're all trying to do something that's not, it's not helping us. It's not useful. Yeah. So stepping into that light. Okay. So my next question is going to be, how did you factor in your life? Okay. So mental health is heavy. It is. Other people's mental health is heavy. How did you not take that home with you? How did you work through that?
So when I originally started my private practice, honestly, I'm not going to even lie. I think a lot of people get into a lot of professions for the money. And I was like, I'm going to do 10 cases because I was like, I have to make this much money because I left a good government job with good benefits. And 10 clients was a lot. It was too much on me mentally. And I wasn't doing my clients justice. I wasn't doing myself justice. I ended up taking a step back and going to work back at the hospital. And I was like, I'm only going to see like 3 clients, period. But then I was like, Sierra, this is what you're called to do. This is my purpose. Mm-hmm. I know this is my purpose. So I was like, you got to take a step back and do what works for you. Mm-hmm. So I created a schedule where my first client, I have 2 kids. My daughter gets on the bus at 8:36. So I was like, I still need some time to like readjust now, you know? So 10 o'clock is my first client. And my last client is at 2 because she gets home at 3:35. So now I have an hour to decompress, you know? So I had to work around and do what's best for me. And I'm like, I could still help people, but I have to do what's best for me and my family. So I really have to set boundaries and stick to them, because sometimes, especially, I don't want to say women, but women, we carry this world on our shoulders, and we want to help people as we possibly can. But I'm like, you have to do what's best for you and your family, and you can still help people. And I limit myself to 5 clients, but really 4 a day. Monday through Thursday, I don't take any clients on the weekend, things like that. So, yeah.
And that's awesome. I commend you for that, because it does, like you pointed out, women, we have a bad habit of taking on everything. And I don't know if it's because we have that wanting to help, or if we feel like we have something to prove. And I feel like those are 2 different things. You know, like, when you want to help, yeah, you want to help. You want to just, you can't tell people no. But I know for me, I have something to prove. And it's that I can take on the world, and that my value is more than, you know, some materialistic thing. It's what I have to bring to the world. So I definitely understand that, setting your boundaries and making sure that you don't go overboard. As far as you, what would you say was something that kind of sparked your fire as far as our culture, right? So people of color, we are doing so much better. First off, let's give props where props are due. We are doing so much better when it comes to mental health. But I think I can say, when you step into a certain position to where you can see the world and see where they are, and just the lack of progression in certain areas, it kind of makes you feel like you have to do something. So what was that moment for you? How did you feel when you kind of saw it? You don't have to tell me all the details, but just what was that moment like?
Honestly, I think it was when I was working as the public defender. It was just a lot, because I was going to the jails, visiting these guys, and just, like, once again, having these conversations with them. And I was like, these people don't deserve to be here. And I'm just like, it's a lot of injustice. It's a lot of, I'll say, well, and then when I got into the, I'll say, therapist role, I was putting it all together. It's a lot of, I'll say, a lack of emotional intelligence. It's a lot of lack of mental health acknowledgement. A lot of people don't, like you said, it has changed, especially during COVID. I feel like mental health therapists, social workers, all of that, it started to be put on the map, because it was a lot of suicide. It was a lot of people being in that house, a lot of anxiety. We were seeing it so much. So they started to, I'll say, finally giving these social workers, therapists, mental health field, people working in the mental health, their flowers. But it was becoming more aware. And I feel like a lot of times that's what a lot of these guys, a lot of these people are lacking. And that's why we see so many of our people, I'll say, in the system, because we don't have that outlet to talk to somebody. We don't know that it's okay to say no. We don't know that we should set boundaries. We don't know, you know what I'm saying? That it's okay to seek help. It's okay to just be you too. It's okay. We don't have to fit this blueprint. We don't have to follow what society says, you know, is the right thing to be or do. You just have to look within yourself and ask for what you need, you know. I'll say that.
That is so true. That is very valid. And I think with, again, the various types of cultures, communities, we think that we're so different. And especially, we have no idea. We're all the same. My husband is Filipino. And I remember when we first got together, he's my first outside of my race. So I'm like, yeah, you don't know what we go through. You don't understand. But the more we talk, I'm like, oh, okay, maybe we are the same. We do have the same hardships when it comes to trying to do something different. You know, our parents want us to be these blue collar positions. In reality, I'm trying to be an astronaut, you know, and that's not realistic. But a lot of that also stems into mental health. I know with my family, I ain't gonna put her out, but I'm gonna put her out. Me and my mama, we would get into it, because my sister is very liberal. She believes in everything, any and everything could possibly happen to you, she will claim it. Mm-hmm. And me, I move a little different. I think I'm more like my mom in the traditional sense of, I don't need to feel everything. I don't need to own everything. But I know growing up with my mom, she was completely different. You know, what you experience either stays at the house or you don't talk about it at all. Yeah. And I'm here now. I have, my son is about to be 1, and I'm learning things about myself. I get very overstimulated when he is crawling on me and pulling at me. I can't do it. Yeah. And my husband's the opposite. He's like, well, he loves you, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, for me, I'm freaking out inside. And acknowledging that on a mental health scale, it's like, okay, what is that? You know, how do I fix it? How do I make sure that I'm not projecting that onto my son so he doesn't feel like, oh, mom doesn't want to love me or be near me, when that's not the case, you know? So I definitely think about our communities and how we can at least start with acknowledging the pattern, acknowledging where we need to adjust our behaviors and our habits and give grace. I think that is so huge, girl, especially the younger generations. It seems like they're in a mindset to place blame, and it's wrong. I get it. You're angry, you're hurt, you want to understand why no one told you about these mental health things. There's so much more in the world. However, it just keeps going. We learn more and more over the period of time. And I know for my mom, to give her grace, she's learning. And now that she's a little bit older, we do have those conversations. So I think that when I step back and I have interviews like this, it's interesting to see everyone's experience when it comes to their lives and the diversity, but the unison within our cultures. That's my TED talk. Anyway.
But I agree. I agree with a lot of the things that you say. You don't even know. It was a few things that you mentioned. I tell a lot of my clients, acknowledgement and awareness is the first step to change. You have to be aware that something is not, you know, I'll say that's off or triggering you. And once you are aware of that, that's when you can address it and make that change that you need to make. And then another thing, like you were saying, the younger generations, but I'll say it kind of spreads across the ages and the generations. They want to blame everything on childhood and their parents. And I'm like, a lot of parents are doing the best that they can with what was given to them. You know what I'm saying? And just be okay with that and know that you have the choice to make the change you want right now today, whatever that may be.
I know that's right. And that was true. You know, I'm trying not to put myself in that box and place some blame, but I will say, you know, it's hard to step away from it, but it does take a lot of self-reflection. You have to understand yourself. And I know so many things, girl, in the weirdest ways, I just have a self-reflection moment. I'm like, I owe that person an apology. Yeah. It takes a lot of maturity, but it's important to do. What would you say is something you had to understand about your influence, right? So you are in a position to hold a lot of power within someone's life. So when it comes to your understanding about your own experiences, seeing someone else's experiences, how would you say you've monitored your influence?
I feel like I'm very, I'll say, especially in the different fields that I work, I'm more lenient and open to knowing that life happens. And I can show people that grace. I think the hardest thing, you talked about grace, is showing grace for ourselves. It's always been easy for me to show others grace. Like I know that they may have went, like I can, even if I don't agree with behaviors or how people respond, I can understand and know that maybe because of what they've been through that, you know, this is how they're going to respond. And I try to show up by showing them that grace, by being my authentic self, because I tell people, whatever you present to the world is what you're going to get back. So I try to do that. I try to present myself in an authentic way. I try to present myself by allowing grace to be shown to everybody. So I don't really let my influence, like a lot of people won't even know what I do, or unless I'm talking about it, honestly. But even in the, when I was a probation officer, I tried to show my clients so much grace, like even being late or, you know, drug tests, a lot of different things. I'm like having a conversation with them and just being like, you know, you need to do this. And you know what I'm saying? Like not belittling them, not talking down on them. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because they already get enough of that. And then even as a therapist, I tell my interns, they already get enough people telling them what they want to hear. They already, so be honest with them, be real with them, show them grace, show them, like, you may give them all the advice on a situation about a relationship, because most people seek therapy because of relationships, but it's hard changing, honestly. It's hard letting go. So just show them the grace that they need, but don't lie to them. Don't belittle them, don't be rude, don't be disrespectful, because that's not, you know, I just feel like that's doing them a disservice.
That is so true. I I remember during the courses I took, rapport, building rapport is huge, making sure that you are building those connections in honesty and authenticity. You just have to. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I love that you're spreading that. And I think that a lot of people, when they get into certain positions that they want to be, you know, personally, like, oh yeah, I made it, they slack off on their own values. Like, if you're not going to do it, why not spread that with the people you're bringing in? So I definitely appreciate you even saying that, because that's huge. We just, you know, worry about ourselves at that point. We can be very selfish. Before I let you go, I do have one more personal question. Within your own life, things that you have to take on, like we talked about, you decompress. What would you say are some good coping mechanisms for people that may be in your position or just someone that you may see in your life?
I would say, I tell everybody to journal. A lot of times we just need an outlet to get things off our chest. And most of us have had a friend or a family member that we use. And I'm like, sometimes that's pouring too much. You taking away from them, you taking, you putting a lot of energy and baggage on somebody who don't even need it or deserve it. And a lot of times the things that we're facing, it's things that we just need to write it out. Speak it in your phone. I say, do that. And I tell a lot of people, I get therapy through my therapy and my clients, but just being honest, I feel like a lot of times, especially in a therapist role, we overextend and we over, like I said, when I first started taking on those 10 clients, that was too much. And I wasn't doing justice to my clients. And it was just like, I think a lot of us, I'm sorry, I'll be all over the place, but I think a lot of us are driven too much by money, not values, morals, and purpose. And I think a lot of times when you take a step back, be still, work with yourself, do that self-reflection, show yourself grace, things become easier. You could breathe again. I think a lot of us, we are in autopilot mode and we, you know, in the plane is not going the direction we want, you know, we're holding our breath. And finally, I feel like when you stop being driven by money, when you stop trying to be somebody or not, when you I'll say not taking that accountability, when you start showing yourself grace, when you know what your values and morals are, when you set those boundaries, you're able to breathe.
That is so true.
you can get out that autopilot mode and you're more in control of your life because you're not driven by money, you're driven by purpose.
Girl, yes, you done spoke to me, because honey, this journey has been interesting, and I know this episode alone is going to touch so many people. I have, our audience is a lot of stay-at-home moms. It is entrepreneurs that are starting out and waiting to take that leap into, you know, doing this full time. That alone is scary, because all you have to think about is money. You, I got to pay my bills, but my purpose is calling. You know, you have to.
Yeah.
I definitely appreciate that. That is very wise and definitely important for us to hear, especially me, girl. I love it. So where are you located? That, I guess, is the first part.
I'm in the Chicago area.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So please, for all of our Chicago listeners, can you share your social media, website, any way for we can get in contact with you?
So I started a podcast last year, C Notes, and it's just basically trying to provide therapy for the world, because like I said, and like you said, a lot of us are going through the same thing. It don't matter about the race, the gender, it's mental. And I just wanted to be able to provide some of those guidance and tips. So my social medias are the same across the board, CNotes 11, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. That's where my podcast is. But as far as my practice, it's Karen CC, and that's everywhere too. And the websites are the same, KarenCC.com and CNotes.org. But yeah, so if people want to watch, get some tips, some tools, things like that, they can watch the podcast, listen to it. Yeah, I'll say that.
Awesome. Well, I definitely appreciate you. Everything is going to be on our website, including all the links, all the ways for y'all to get in touch with her. I do have it up on the website. Not the links yet. Don't go look. Mm-hmm. It's coming. But for sure, I definitely appreciate you, Sierra. I hope you have an amazing day with your girls. Have some sun, because it's still sunny outside.
Right.
I know. But I do appreciate you, and I look forward to doing some more together. I am hoping to promote all month long mental health. So whatever you have, I'm going to be sharing your podcast stuff, all of your videos, because we are totally aligned this month. Okay.
Yes.
But yes, ma'am. I hope you have a wonderful day. I appreciate you, y'all. This was Contrary to the Culture. Until next time.
All right, that was our episode. Thanks so much for listening to Contrary to the Culture. Again, I am your host, Jaysa King. You can find full show notes from today's episode at audacityofwomen.com under the podcast app. Let's connect on Instagram at justjaysapodcast. There you will find clips from our various segments and more information about yours truly. If you're loving the podcast, I'd be so honored if you go ahead and hit that subscribe button and leave me a review. Until next time.
Ever need a boost, count on me for the 1-2. Trouble don't last when the tough get going. Baby, all we do is win, so show me my opponent. Adversity, doubt, stress, could care less, cause how we handle those like an S on our chest. Super proud of how we held it.